Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everybody to the Legacy of a Nation show. The Legacy of a Nation show broadcasts each and every Saturday evening from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Legacy of a Nation represents, advocates, and supports the Aboriginal, Indigenous, and Native community of North and South America, the Caribbean America, Caribbean America, and Central America. We were here first. We were here before Europeans ever traveled here to so-called colonize these lands to rape, pillage, and practice genocide on us. We were here before Africans were ever brought here in the reverse Middle Passage in the transatlantic slave trade. We were here before the so-called Native American, and that is in no way any disrespect to the so-called Native American. It's just that the Native American is us, and we are them. We are Native. We are Aboriginal. We are Indigenous to these lands. We were here tonight on the Legacy of a Nation show. By the way, I am your host, Sun752, and I am filling in for our leader, our man, our great teacher, Brother Mac. He's under the weather. He cannot be with us tonight, but he will be back with us, hopefully, very shortly. So we're going to hold it down for him, and we're going to take care of him and make sure that we do him some justice. Tonight on the Legacy of a Nation show, we are talking about the misled loyalty of Black people. The misled loyalty of Black people. What do we know about the misled loyalty of Black people? Well, I think we need to have a conversation tonight. You know, when you think about our people, when you think about our show, when you think about what we have been through as far as our struggle is concerned, when you think about the needs of our people, when you think about the lack of loyalty that we had towards ourselves, but the undying loyalty that we show towards other people. And when I say other people, I don't mean other people who look like us. I mean other people who have probably exploited us and probably have used false propaganda against us and have served to destroy us internally and externally, you know, on the surface and in the background. But we are resilient people. And it's a good thing that we are resilient people, because if we weren't resilient, we would barely have anything left, brothers and sisters. It is amazing that with the trials, the tribulations, the struggles that we have been through, the outright plan to attack us, to kill us, to hurt us, to demoralize us, and to colonize us, it's a wonder that we still are here and that we have not conformed to the point where we are immobilized. However, we do have our struggles, and almost all of our struggles are internal, and they're serious. So we're going to talk about them tonight on the Legacy of a Nation show. You know, as we talk about the misled loyalty of our people, what are we really talking about? I mean, we could go on for days about the misled loyalty of our people. You know, it's a phenomenon that suggests that when you do something for Black people that Black people know personally, you gain favor with them. You manipulate a way to, or should I say, not even manipulate, you devise a way to enter into our community, and you gain a friend against all odds. You know, I don't really like to speak badly about our people, but I do like to speak truthfully about our people. And one of the truths that I have to tell about our people is this. We really, really hate racism. But I don't think that we hate racism because of what it does to us. I think we hate racism because of the limitations of the access that we would like to have. It ruins our ability to be able to conform. And I know that sounds really, really negative, but I hold this to be true. I think that if racism wasn't directed towards us exclusively, I don't even think that we would have a real problem with it. Personally, I don't have a problem with it that much anyway, because I don't know of any other way to live. I've never been able to fathom a life, you know, living a life or a lifestyle without the imminent presence of racism. But what I'm alluding to with this conversation tonight on the Legacy of a Nation show is that it seems like when you do one thing for black people that black people are aware of, they will advocate for you. They will fight for you. They will speak up for you. They will defend you. And they will do all of these things against their own people. I hate to say it. I would love for somebody to dispute it. But the best that we can normally do to dispute it is to say, all of us don't do that. And that is true. All of us do not do that. The problem is that enough of us do it to whereas it affects all of us adversely. And I would love to see us stand up and get rid of that. And that's a personal goal of mine. So, although I know I can't carry out this goal all by my itty-bitty self, what I can do is try to get the word out and use this platform to try to make sure that we understand and highlight our behaviors and our habits and our tendencies and our capabilities so that we can start to wage an improvement war. What if we did that? You know, we like to wage war on everything else. Why don't we wage an improvement war? We are going to declare war on lack of improvement. Like, we ain't going to take it anymore. I'd like to give a shout out to Taki Zori in the chat room. She says, sometimes our loyalty is short-sighted. Sometimes, man, listen. She also says, our loyalty is affected by how much a situation serves our personal lives. That is exactly what we're talking about tonight. That is exactly what we're talking about. I was really hoping that after November 3rd, we would be able to rest our minds from focusing on politics so much. But as I should have expected, it wasn't over after November 3rd, and it wasn't over after December 3rd, and tomorrow will be January 3rd, and it's not all the way over. This is a roach that must have a titanium back on him. You can't crush him. You know what? Yeah. No. This is what it must. This roach must have titanium legs and a diamond back. So you can try to stomp on him. Guess what? It ain't going to work. He's hard. You may hurt your foot worse than you'll actually hurt the bug. But it's a real thing. And it's something that we have to take into consideration. You can't go about curing a sickness before you start to understand what the symptoms are. So if we think that we're already well, which is a tendency of ours to do, well, you know what I mean? When black people have come a long way and not everybody is like this and we not all doing that and you don't ever want to focus on none of the good stuff that's happening out here. Well, that's not true. But it is true that I do choose to focus on some of our problems because our problems are many. Unfortunately, compared to our accomplishments, our inability to focus on advancement for ourselves, not just our personal selves, but for our people, is low. It's low. And the work that we have to do is greater than most people understand. Even some of the people who are in the struggle don't seem to understand what we are even struggling for. They think that we're struggling for equality. We're not struggling for equality. We're struggling for humanity. We have been treated as if we were less than human beings. We were actually listed in the United States Constitution as 3/5 of a man. And if you go into your history books, or if you Google it, they try to make it seem like, no, they didn't mean like three-fifths of a man, like you weren't a whole man. But because of slavery and the way that the political system was set up with voting, that we couldn't, because blacks were written out of the Constitution, we couldn't list them as full persons because full persons would be eligible to vote. And I don't want to hear that. Listen, okay, even if that was true, the treatment of us, the way that we were treated, or should I say mistreated, confirmed that we were thought of as three-fifths of a person. Three-fifths of a person, baby. We should all be running around here with T-shirts that say five-fifths, the whole five-fifths. I am whole. I am one person, the whole five-fifths of one person. So tonight, what we want to talk about is the misled loyalty of black people. You do something nice for a black person, and they be like, such and such ain't racist. Such and such ain't racist. You see what they did for black people? I know, and I know for a fact they're not racist because I know him or I know her, and I seen what they did, and I saw what they gave and I benefited, and blah, 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 blah. We're the only people doesn't realize that a person can do something nice for somebody even if they are pure evil. The devil ain't mean all the time. He's not wicked all the time. If he knows that you have a brain on you, he will mitigate himself. He will regulate himself. He will calm down and try to outthink you. Especially if he knows that you are only three-fifths of a man, which makes your instincts more animal-like. What do you do when you're dealing with a wild animal that is aggressive and looks hell-bent on attacking you? You find a way to feed him. Divert his attention, his or her attention, by giving them something that they would like to eat besides yourself. Like, it's a good thing I had this nice juicy steak on me. In the wild, you would do that so you can get away. Unfortunately, it seems like in captivity where we are, we use the steak in order to be able to stay. Or should I say, the steak has been used for us in order for him or her to be able to stay. Don't get me wrong, brothers and sisters. I'm not going to sit on this line tonight and tell y'all that all white people are bad, or that they're all devils and all of that. You can make that determination for yourself. That's not up to me. You know what I mean? I'm not Elijah Muhammad. I'm not Malcolm X. I'm not Louis Farrakhan. I'm not Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Shout out and rest in peace to Khalid Abdul Muhammad, Malcolm X. But what I am here to do is to open our eyes to some things so we can recognize our behavior and wage an improvement program or wage war against lack of improvement. And maybe we can start focusing on doing better for ourselves. And maybe if we see that we are able to help each other, then maybe we will start advocating for each other. And we do. Don't get me wrong. I'm not here to say that all black, no black people stick up for black people when the going gets rough. I'm not saying that because I know that I stick up for my fellow black man, woman, and children when the going gets rough. And I'm not the only one I know who does it. And I'm not the only one who's not blind, who's not blindly loyal, even to my own people. I have to recognize our flaws. And we have to try to cure this sickness that permeates our existence, and we have to get past this shit. And we can't get past it thinking that it's all right already. What champion do you know defends his title for no good reason? Ain't gonna happen. If nobody tries to step up and take it away from you, then you have no reason to defend it. And it also may even negate or lend denial to the fact that you're a champion in the first place. All right, I would like to invite all of you and each and every one of you to call in. If you have something to say about this topic tonight, we can get into it. I mean, get all the way into it. And if you're just coming in, or, you know, I mean, you'll know what's up. We are talking about the misled loyalty of black people. The misled loyalty of black people. So we're talking about how some of us are loyal to a fault with people who may not be loyal to us, or who may exploit our loyalty and hurt us in the long run. So the number to call is area code 319-527-6199. If you would like to speak and you're already on the line, all you have to do is press number one. If you are on the computer, if you are listening on a PC, and you would like to chime in, the chat room is open. And you can also cross over into the verbal realm and dial 319-527-6199, and we will get you right on up in here. We will identify you by the last four digits of your telephone number. And this is the Legacy of a Nation show. I am your host, Sun752, filling in for Brother Mac. We hope to have Brother Mac with us again real, real soon. I look forward to that. But in the meantime, we're going to do the Brother Proud. Or should I say, we're going to do the Father Proud and make sure that he knows what time it is. Taki Tori says, misplaced loyalty puts our self-respect, integrity, and sometimes our sanity at risk. It's often taken for granted and used people and organizations. The government, they use force. Oh, the government. They use force, they use threats, and they use money. Hence, the hold that this stimulus has on the minds of black community. It's like Taki Zori is reading my mind. Either that or she read the description. Either that or she's just on point. Yeah, this stimulus package. Well, hold on. You know what? Before we even get into the stimulus package, now, I don't think that any of us can deny that 4 years ago, nobody was screaming that Donald Trump was the friend of black people. Even if you didn't want to vote for Hillary Clinton, you could not have thought that, Donald Trump is definitely the voice of black people, and he's definitely going to do something to stake his claim as being a supporter of us. There was nothing that he said outside of what did he say to us to try to sway our vote towards him. What do you have to lose? Well, that was convincing, because evidently it worked with some of us. So if you fast forward 4 years from 2016, I'm sorry, well, 2017 now, and because we're in 2021, you fast forward and you see, like, now every time you turn around, you hear you're probably in an argument, or your ears are turning, or, you know, you got one eyebrow up and one eyebrow down, thinking to yourself, like, what the hell has happened to black people? Talking about Donald Trump has done more for black people than any other president. He is not racist. He's not this, that, and the third, and blah, 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 blah. Well, where'd all that come from? You know, through social media, it's easier to pretty much chronicle and clock the thoughts and feelings of our people. As we express ourselves through social media and say how we feel about things. I'm not saying that we tell all our business. Some people share a lot, but I don't think anybody tells all of their business on social media. But what we do is we express the way that we feel about politicians and politics in particular, and we say, and some people agree with us and some people don't agree with us, and we sort of take it from there, see how it goes. Well, looky here. What have we here? So now we have a bunch of black people against black people, because you have the black people who are advocates for Donald Trump, and they claim that the other people who are Democrats, the other black people who are Democrats, don't believe that Donald Trump has done anything for us, because we believe that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and any of the other Democrats are just pulling the wool over our eyes, and we can't see the forest for the trees, and we're just misled by the mainstream media, and we can't think for ourselves. All we do is regurgitate the false propaganda that we hear against Donald Trump on a daily basis. I have never seen black people study the secret lives or the background political ambitions of any other politician is for as long as I've been alive my whole 50 years. Even President Obama, I don't remember as many people telling me, oh, no, this is what he really believes. Then, you know, the media is just trying to make him look bad. This is what he's really about. This is what he's really done. This is what's really happening. Donald Trump seems to be the type of man that knows how to speak for himself and chooses to do so very, very frequently, whether he's doing it through social media or whether he's doing it on mainstream media. This man will be quick to tell you what he's doing, what he has done, and what he has accomplished. So you mean to tell me that in the background he's doing all of these things for black people and he ain't saying nothing about it specifically? Only thing he's saying is that he's done more for black people than any other president since Abraham Lincoln? Really? And that's supposed to make sense to us. And our people are running around here mirroring those thoughts, repeating that kind of stuff. And I'll tell you, black propaganda ain't no better than white propaganda when it's false. Black false propaganda actually does us worse than white false propaganda does, because we should expect those who are in power to limit their truth telling to us. We should expect that. We should not have to expect that our people, our own people, would mislead us, lie to us, and use technology against us so that we will support someone to be able to hurt us even farther than we've been hurt before. Like, God damn, man, what we doing? What are we doing? Well, we got to do something different than this. So, you know, whenever I hear all of these black Trump supporters, and you have to admit they're way more loyal than we are. I rarely hear any black people who have voted for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. I hardly ever hear them talking about what Joe Biden is going to do or what they believe he's going to do and all that kind of stuff. We just wanted Donald Trump out of the way. We wanted to stop the bleeding. We needed to stop the ridiculousness that we were exposed to on a daily basis. Not a regular basis, a daily basis. Having a hell of a heaping of it on our plates to the point where it was nauseating. That's how much we were fed. It was nauseating. But it's not that we totally believe in Joe Biden, you know? I mean, for many of us, he's just a fill-in. It's like, listen, you only get two candidates. We had to pick somebody. And at least this guy is responsible for being the vice president of the first black president and choosing the first black female as vice president, the first vice president. I don't know how you can twist that to make it sound bad, but my people are an amazing people, and they've managed to do it. So everything that Joe Biden is doing is, first of all, geared towards us, you know, because We're making these things very personal. Donald Trump has done everything for us. And Joe Biden wants to do everything to us. You know. So the whole plot of everything around the world is to eliminate the American black man. That's how arrogant we have become. how blindly arrogant we have become. That's how we sound. And yeah, I know it sounds ridiculous. I know. But that's where we are right now. That's what's happening. That is our struggle. That's what we're doing. And we can do better. I know we can do better. But we have to get some clarity on where we come from and where we are and where we want to be. And we struggle with that also. Once again, 319-527-6199 if you would like to talk. Press number 1, and that will get you on up in here. This is the Legacy of a Nation show, the misled loyalty of our people. Now, before this whole Donald Trump thing, I can't really think of a candidate that had this kind of hold on us, but maybe Bill Clinton was the one. Bill Clinton was definitely a popular president with black people, you know, but he did it in different ways. You know, with Donald Trump, he let some people out of jail, and which was a strong move. You know, and for people who say that Donald Trump is an idiot or whatever, you got to stop that. And the reason that we have to stop that is because when you start calling somebody stupid, or when you start undermining somebody's intelligence or their ideas, then you actually put yourself in a position to fail, because you have failed to see the strategy that someone else may be devising against you. And it's all because, you know, they're not doing what you think should be done. Well, we got to do a little better than that, don't you think? Well, we must. We must. So, Bill Clinton, you know, did things like appeared on certain talk shows like the Arsenio Hall show and played instruments. And he sort of endeared himself to us as far as popular culture is concerned. And it worked. It was ingenious. You know, nobody ever said that Bill Clinton was silly. Nobody ever said that he was stupid. I always thought that was interesting. You know, was it because he was a Rhodes Scholar? Because if you really want to think about it, the things that Bill Clinton did to black people were non-democratic. Those weren't the things that a liberal would do. That type of legislation and stuff like that. Everybody wants to talk about Joe Biden in the 94 crime bill. Guess who the president was in 1994 who pushed it? His name was William Clinton, Bill Clinton. Kill Bill, the first black president. That's what people were calling him at the time. It used to almost make me want to throw up in my mouth. It almost used to want to make me throw up in my mouth. But Bill Clinton was very popular with our people, but not to the point where it was cult-like. You didn't hear people running around here, you know, talking about Bill Clinton is this and Bill Clinton is this. Hey, he wasn't part of our lives. We had real lives to lead. We had things that we had to do. We had places to go, families to feed, cars to gas up, and vacations to go on, and jobs to work at, and stuff like that. We had lives that we needed to tend to, and we did it. With this whole Donald Trump thing, because we have social media, it seems like you can take more time out to endear yourself or to stake your claim in the loyalty that you feel for somebody. We didn't have social media when Bill Clinton was president. We didn't have that. And it makes me wonder about a whole lot of the ways that we obtained information before we had the information highway the way we do now. You know, before we had to work out with the Dewey Decimal System. You know, we had to go to the library and actually search. You know what I'm saying? We had to go in the stacks. Who went to a college that had a library that had stacks? What y'all know? What y'all know about stacks? Shout out to all my Penn Staters. We know about them stacks, don't we? Stacks is crazy, man. You know what I mean? A building full of books. Full of books. It almost makes you wonder about the the need for libraries now. I mean, now it's pretty much relegated to a glorified study hall. You don't need the books anymore. You don't need the space. Everything is in a computer, and everything is right there for you, available at a glance or in an instant. But nonetheless, Takizori says, we stood in line for hours on election day just to bow down at the feet of the devil for $600 when the everyday American has needed so much more this year. Yeah, it gets deeper than that. He says, she says, Bill Clinton played us like the Piper. Yeah, he did. And even I take issue with the whole 94 crime bill and all of that kind of stuff, because I'm really sick. I don't know about y'all, but I'm really, really sick. The focus of black people and the black struggle always having something to do with crime, punishment, incarceration, or welfare. Like, we don't mean anything to this country besides crime, punishment, welfare. That's the only time we become relevant in the political conversation. Crime, punishment, welfare. That's what we get reduced to? Yeah, that's what we get reduced to. And it's insulting. It really is. I was talking to somebody about this the other day. Like, hold on. Wait a minute. I ain't trying to hear about no 94 crime bill, because you know why? Number one, it wasn't focused towards us personally. You know, we take anything dealing with crime, punishment, and welfare personally. I don't even understand that conditioning. Especially when you consider all black people don't commit crimes. So guess what? The majority of black people who are not involved in a legal system, who have never been to jail or are not incarcerated, are not on their way to court, are not facing trial. The majority of us are not affected by the 94 crime bill. But another thing about the 94 crime bill is that there are more white people incarcerated than there are black people, just in terms of raw numbers. There are 41% of the population in jail are black people. 41%. The big thing about that is that it's disproportionate to our society, because they say that we're only 12%. In the American population. So if you break down 300 million Americans, they say our population is 300 million. Okay, so if we're only 12% of 300 million, so they're basically telling us that there are only about 32 million black people in the United States. It's bullshit, because they're saying that there are 18% Latinos. 18% Latinos and only 12% black people. Okay, but let's stay focused. So if 12% of the population is giving 40% to incarceration, and we know why. We know that the legal system is geared towards making sure that we don't understand our rights or our options in the legal system. So we often wind up getting sentences that shouldn't have been rendered towards us, and also getting convictions where we probably should have been exonerated, or probably have been, you know, given a slap on the wrist, like ARD or something like that, probation, instead of an actual sentence. But yeah, like I said, the 94 crime bill dealt with the popularity of the three strikes rule. So if you were a career criminal and you had two felonies on your record, on that third felony, you were given a life sentence. That's what the 94 crime bill was about. So all these people running around here talking about, yeah, Joe Biden, you know, that 94 crime bill, he wrote that shit and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he wrote it, but guess who approved it? You black people approved that shit. You wanted it. And I'm not just talking about the politicians, because the black politicians definitely wanted it. They called for it. In 1994, the crack era and the gang era was crazy, especially in large markets like Chicago, especially L.A., especially New York, Philadelphia, Miami. The drugs and the violence associated with the drugs had people scared to let their kids come out and play. You know, there were a lot of people being caught in the crossfire and all of that. Most of the white politicians, and I hate to have to throw this fact out there, but it's a fact. The white senators was like, nah, this Tron bill is bad. This ain't no good. The black ones was the ones that stood up and was like, listen, we need this shit in our communities because the drugs and the violence and the gangs are taking over our communities. And this is what we need in order to get these criminals off our streets and let our kids be able to come out and play again and let our seniors be able to sit on their porches again. This is what we need to make it safe. It was niggas. It was niggas who pushed that 94 crime bill through. It's a fact. We run around here talking about all this research that we do. Research that. You can't beat facts. The fact is a fact. Yes, Joe Biden wrote it, or should I say he facilitated it, but he wasn't the one who pushed it through. They could have went back and changed it. They didn't want to. So the devil wrote the shit, and then wait. The devil wrote the shit. We approved the devil. All of a sudden, we get out of the way. Years later, 30 years later, and we like, well, I'm saying, 94 crime bill and all that shit. I don't remember Joe Biden's name being mentioned at the time. I never heard of Joe Biden in 1994. Never heard of him. Maybe y'all did. There's a good chance that y'all were deeper into politics back then than I was. But I never heard of him. I ain't know who made it. All I know is I never had one felony. So it didn't affect me. And guess who else it didn't affect? It didn't affect nobody else in my family. It didn't affect none of my friends. None of them. Why? Because even if they had one felony, the 94 crime bill didn't affect them. You had to have three. Three. And you also had the Rockefeller laws. There was some shit going on. Wait, oh, my bad. I see that we have a caller on the line. Caller with the last number is 9860. Welcome to the Legacy of a Nation show. Thank you for holding on. What's on your mind this evening?
Peace and love, family.
Yo, peace, love, unity, and thanks for calling in, my man. What's going on with you?
I was listening to the show, and it's very close to home that you're hitting tonight. I mean, you've been on fire the last, you've been on point on a lot of different things, but you've been really throwing some strikes, my man, the last few outings. Good work. We appreciate it. Appreciate you doing what you do to raise our awareness of situations and circumstances and conditions that we as a people have. We need a lot more of that. And you're definitely putting in your work to make sure we get it from you, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Without a doubt.
I want to send a shout out to Big Brother Mac. Tell him I said we're looking forward to hearing from him soon. Keep up the good work, and tell him thank you for all the work that he's put in. Of course, we appreciate that as well. We definitely got to give props to those who are doing what's needed.
True story.
That doesn't happen near enough. But as far as the topic and the crime bill and how our people have been victimized, and then we have looked to those who victimized us to remedy the situation, which has not turned out well for us. So like the elder ancestor now said, we have been hoodwinked. You know, we've been put in a position. And that's what the Willie Lynch letter was saying, that these people have conditioned us to now be our own worst enemies. And at one point, we were our only heroes. We were the only people saving black people. I mean, you had your, you know, one in a while demelanated person who looked out for the cookout, but 9 out of 10 times it was a brother or a sister looking out.
Mm-hmm.
So we the ones who saved us. We're the ones who fought for us. We're the ones who died for us because we're the ones who had to live for us. And that's something we can never forget. It was our ancestors that made sure that we made it through. Nobody did us. Very few people did us favors.
Mm-hmm.
So we are the answer. We have to govern ourselves. That's just the bottom line. We have to develop a culture that's going to cultivate our communities, our families, into units that can be depended on to come through and take care, make sure we got what we need.
Mm-hmm.
It's common sense. We've been programmed. Simple as that. We've been programmed. They've done some social engineering on us. These people have used some science on us, and they've done a number on us. So it's not that, you know, are dumb, slow people. They took hundreds of years to perfect this thing. It's been 600 years since they've invaded our homeland. This is our land. They invaded this. They got us thinking we from Africa.
True
we've
story.
Been global. We've been global everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So them telling us we from Africa, we've been that, and we've been with everybody's genesis is Africa, but it was all one land, even Africa. But that's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother story. What we're talking about is the politics of today and how Joe Biden he's been the author of a lot of destruction in our community. So it's rightfully so that he gets to bear the blood of what he's done. Simple as that. All of them. Ain't none of them, I mean, Democrat, Republican, all is the same thing. I don't care what color you are. It's all white supremacy.
Word up.
That's what they vote. So they're not for the people. They're for a small oligarchy of families that use corporations to do their bidding. And they got the rest of us running around here dancing to their tune.
Mm-hmm.
So we just have some independence and dance to our own tune, and that'll solve a lot of our problems.
Well, you know, here's my thing about it. And I'm glad you brought up the whole white supremacy thing. You can't talk white supremacy on one side in the absence of white supremacy on the other side. You know, I mean, if anything, you're feeding right into the narrative of white supremacy when you try to do that. You know, it's almost to the point where you have to assume that all white people are white supremacists on some level. I don't think that it's dangerous to do that. Unless you're only talking about yourself. See, the problem with our people is that we get something done for ourselves personally, and then we figure, well, he hooked me up, so that's my man. So I ain't going to let nobody say nothing bad about him because that's my man. But you know what? That's the same mentality that kept us on the plantation, on the slave plantation. Because, you know, Massa wasn't mean or bad or unkind to all of the slaves. So the slaves who understood freedom and why they should have it were plotting to run away. And the slaves who wanted to stay on the plantation because Massa was a kind master. He was a good master. He was a gentle master. They was the one telling on the ones who were plotting to escape, the ones who were plotting to become free. You understand what I'm saying?
Slave.
It's the same shit.
The privileged slave.
Huh?
The privileged slave.
Well,
that's what
they're
called.
I don't know.
They have privileges in slavery.
I don't think
that. Like in They call them trustees in jail, and they have like a privileged status where it's not so bad for them because they get to, you know, run around a little more, but you're still in jail. So in their mind, they're privileged, and that's called a privileged slave. And I can understand that's how it was back in slavery. I mean, I can see how it translates today.
Yeah.
We still have people out there, because they have a few dollars, they feel they are more privileged. So it's not so bad for them.
Right, and they can't see the forest for the trees. They can't see their slave status. They think that they've made it. And so they don't give a shit. They don't give a shit about anybody else that hasn't, quote unquote, made it. And they think that whoever hasn't, quote unquote, made it either isn't worthy of making it, or they just haven't taken any time to figure the game out, because they just hardheads and they don't want nothing better for themselves. It's ridiculous thinking. It's ridiculous thinking, but they're like our personal 1%, and those are the motherfuckers that keep us down. But they ain't the only ones who keep us down, because we have way too many sheep, and we can't trust our sheep herders. You know what I mean? I hate to get into this, man, but you know, a lot of our black leaders, I ain't going to say all of them, but a lot of our black leaders have taken payoffs to call the dogs off when we were really ready to get something done. You know, you look at the March on Washington. The March on Washington wasn't supposed to be that peaceful, you know, damn near hippie like Woodstock revival that it turned out to be. It wasn't supposed. They was going down to Washington to tear shit up. Like, enough was enough. It was supposed to be a rebellion, a revolt, like a big ass riot. But they sent some agents in there. You know what I mean? To switch it around, do the old switcheroo. You know what I mean? Bait and switch. And it became this love and peaceful thing with all these people and shit. Fuck out of here. But even when you fast forward it to another one, listen, man, I don't know about you, but I went to the Million Man March, and it gave me a feeling that I never got before. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Farrakhan is all the way right. I can't. Even back in 1995 when it went down, I couldn't tell you that it was all the way right. You know why? Because he makes a lot of money. He gets a lot of money. And I know too many people in the nation, and they ain't getting money. And guess what? They ain't gonna. So we are unfortunately put in positions many times where we have too many sheep and we can't trust the sheep herders. But ain't nobody listening. Well, I ain't going to say nobody, but not enough of us are listening to the people who are out there looking for truth. Because even sometimes the truth seekers and the truth tellers are seeking and telling the truth in order to gain the kind of position that the goddamn payola scam fostering sheep herders are part of. But I need to reel this in, because I'm going too far. All I'm saying is that just because somebody does a favor for you and your people, you can't say that, like, to hell with all these other with everybody else that this person has done anything to, allegedly. You know what I mean? That's my man. We can't afford that shit. We can't afford it. And that's exactly what we've been doing.
Nobody gets the pass.
Word.
You're wrong. Mm-hmm. Straight up. Clean up your mess. Easy math.
True.
Nobody gets the pass to destroy our humanity. It don't matter where you at. You become an enemy of all humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a level of respect and love that life, that humanity, for all life, animals, it doesn't matter. It's not just people. It's the environment. We care about our world.
Mm-hmm.
We care about it. So
yeah,
I just wanted to shout out, and I got to go. I'm glad you're doing your thing, bro. Keep it up. Love you, bro. One love.
So you do your thing, man. And, well, thanks for calling in. Thanks this much. Good stuff. Good stuff. Real good. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man, but you know, this is and I want to give a shout out to the brother for calling in. That was big. That was large. That was more than necessary. But yeah, you know, it highlights a big problem that we have right now. You know, it's a very, very large problem that we're having right now. We are not in a position where we are advocating for the whole because somebody has done something for the one. Somebody has done something for the one, and we're acting like they done something for the all. And it's not even close. We ain't on that type time, y'all. We ain't on that type time. So, you know, we got to be a lot more careful about you know, what we're doing and how things turn out for us. And stay in the course of recognition, recognizing who is on our side and who's not on our side. But all of this, well, yeah, you shout out. Yeah, fuck it. I'm gonna do it. Shout out to the people who have family members or friends who have been let out of prison. You know what I mean? That's a beautiful thing. It's great, you know, but they say Donald Trump released my man from prison, you know, that he was doing all of this time and blah 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 blah. And that's cool. It's a good look. Is it the only look? Is it the best look? Does that take away everything else? Well, hopefully in your mind it doesn't, but evidently for a lot of people it does. And that's like saying, well, to hell with everybody else. This is all about me. He let my people go. He let my mama go. He let my daddy go. He let my cousin go. You know what I mean? My man coming home, you know, all because of Donald Trump. It's like so. That's your evidence, your proof that Donald Trump is in it to win it for black people. You can't be serious. But guess what, though? We are serious. Very, very serious. Shit is real out here. And the more we continue on this path, the more we believe that is, or we accept that, as long as you took care of me, you know, I'm a ride for you. And I'm going to look the other way about anything else that you do. We can't get anywhere that way. And I believe that we think that that type of behavior, that type of thinking works for us, at least in the temporary sense. And it doesn't work for us at all. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Well, I think one of the things that we can do is that we can accept and believe that there is something that we can do. Don't stop looking for the truth just because something has made you comfortable. And I think that's what many of us do. As soon as we find something that makes us comfortable, we start saying the hell with the truth or the hell with anything else. We good now. Everything is all right. The war is over. No, the war is not over. The war has barely even begun. Taki Zori in the chat room says complacency. Yeah, we become complacent. And then we're not even complacent. It's like going to your cousin's house. You remember back in the day when you didn't have cable? Remember all the way back in the 80s when cable TV was just something that you heard about, but nobody that you knew had it, but you would go down south or another part of town or whatever, maybe a few towns over or states over or whatever, and your cousins or your aunt or uncle or somebody had cable TV. You went over there, you were like, damn. Yo, they got this show called New York Hot Tracks. This thing is banging. You know what I'm saying? They had cable TV. Oh, HBO, Showtime, you know, channels you never even heard of. You didn't have cable. So when you went over there, you went over there for a good time. And because you were connected with them, if they had cable, you had cable. They didn't tell you that you could only watch these shows. They didn't take away your TV time. They didn't say, no, we got to watch this first, and then you can watch what you want. You were able to do whatever you wanted to do. So it was a comfort for you. That doesn't mean that that's what you had when you got home. When you got home, you had to face the reality that, damn, man, we still don't have cable available in this neighborhood. And even if we did, we can't afford it right now. So as you had to go back to your existence and your reality, you couldn't allow yourself to be jaded and fooled by or swayed by the trappings of somebody else's possessions or their success. You still have to get yours. But if you looked around, just like you said, nobody in your neighborhood had cable. It wasn't even available. So although you could go over your cousin's house or your aunt, uncle's house, whoever, and come back and be like, yo, I saw this movie, I saw that movie, I saw this show, I saw that, blah, 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 blah. And remember, you know, shit like having cable TV back in the day was a big deal. It was like, wow, you saw this? You saw that? Wow. You underdig? So you could talk about things that you didn't really know, or you could embellish things that happened in reality because nobody else had a way to verify that. Now, maybe y'all understanding what I'm talking about, but if you don't, I'm saying all of this to say this. Although you may have had access to something that many of your people didn't have, it didn't make you any better. Because at the end of the day, you had to come back and be with your people, and you had to come back and be your people. And it's the same thing now. We can't start letting people off the hook, you know, just start excusing their misdeeds just because they did something for you. You know, you was in the pizza spot, and this dude that they said was a racist paid for your pizza. He paid for your slice. Put away your money. I'll buy that slice. Oh, that's very nice of you. You know what I'm saying? You can accept the gifts that are given to you, but that should not take away your focus of what's really going on. You have to still take into consideration that whenever somebody else is succeeding, somebody else is failing. Whenever somebody else has a windfall, somebody else has a downfall. And unfortunately for our people and our community, there are way too many people that are part of the downfall. We are systemically programmed for big downfalls. And these cats running around here talking about saying, yeah, man, you know, Donald Trump said that we should get $2,000 for the stimulus. Well, where the fuck was he when they were negotiating for the $2,000 and we had to settle for the $600? Let me tell you something else about the stimulus money. Y'all have to pay that shit back. Y'all motherfuckers running around here like y'all just won a Super Bowl or some shit like that. You have to pay it back. This should come out your taxes. What you think, this is free money? You gotta pay it back. Man, listen. You'll see. You'll see. You'll see, because the tax man cometh. The tax man cometh. Many of y'all about to file y'all shit early. You'll see. Somewhere along the line, you have to pay that. You're gonna have to pay that money back. So those of y'all who didn't get that money better be thanking your lucky stars. Yeah, sometimes what they say, all money ain't good money. If that ain't good money, it's not gonna be good for you. It's not gonna be good for you. And this is bigger than just the stimulus money. We got to stop running around here giving people a free pass. Ask the Central Park Five, do they think that Donald Trump is a good guy? Ask them. I bet you he didn't get their vote. And all of those black people
who couldn't get housing in New York because your man Donald Trump. See if they voted for his ass. See if they say he's not a racist. He hung around. He be around black celebrities, boxers, and rappers. Get the fuck out of here. Who don't want to be around black athletes and celebrities? Everybody wants a piece of that pie. But don't nobody want to kick it with you in the projects and your rat and roach infested project apartment. You know what I mean? While y'all frying up chicken. You know what I'm saying? And putting ham hocks and turkey butts in the green, son. And I'm not saying that they have to do that in order to qualify as being a liberal or not being a racist. But what I'm saying is they don't care about you, because if they are complacent with your condition being the way that it is, how can you say that they care about you? You didn't put yourself in the position that you are in systematically. They did that. Yeah, in the here and now, in the immediate sense, you are responsible for any condition that you are in. But you must understand that the system was put in place. And it was also put in place for you not to understand what was going on with it, and for you to understand, and for you to feed into it. I want to thank all y'all for coming through and checking out the Legacy of a Nation show this evening. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to do my dad proud. Brother Mac, under the weather. You know what I mean? I want to give a shout out to him and tell him that I love him and that I care about him and I'm pushing for him. And we're going to hold it down. I want to thank all of y'all for coming through. I hope y'all enjoyed listening to the broadcast as much as I enjoyed broadcasting it to y'all. We will be back in the building tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. for the Daily Go Get a Mism show. You think it ain't when it is? You think it won't when it is? So go out tonight. You know, if y'all have some time, go out and do something black and positive tonight. I don't care what it is. Read a book to a child. Teach them about their history, him or her about their history. Give them a chance in life. Show them how to factor a polynomial. I don't give a shit if they don't know their times tables yet. Show them how to factor a polynomial. They're going to need that shit by 9th or 10th grade. Also, please be safe, y'all. I was thinking about something. Oh, hold on. We have a call on the line. Caller with the last number is 8382. We can take that before we go. Caller with the last number is 8382. Welcome to the Legacy of a Nation show. Did you
want
to speak
real quick? Thank you tonight. This is Chinchilla. How are you?
Hey, Chinchilla. How you doing?
I'm good. I was checking out your show. Trying to multitask here. I said, let me let you know I'm on here listening. I listened to the whole show. But I couldn't I couldn't talk because I was on the Zoom meeting. So I was trying to do the Zoom and listen to your show at the same time. But yeah, very good show. And, you know, the things that you were saying were so true with, you know, when somebody does something for black people, they just, you know, they go all out. And, you know, it's really sad, but that is definitely true. And, you know, things need to change. You know, black people need to just change their total mindset, because the mindsets of the black people are just really, really totally screwed up. And, you know, it, of course, as I always say, it's not all black people, but, you know, so a lot of times when I talk and people mistake me saying, like, you know, black people or a certain group of people, they want to say, oh, well, we all not like that. Yeah, we know that everyone's not, but for the most part, black people as a whole need to definitely do better and start to look into really what's going on behind the scenes with the hidden agendas of all these different politicians and everything. And, you know, with that $2,000 stimulus, yeah, it's going to for everybody, not just black people. He wants it for everybody, you know, for the people that already got money and don't even need an extra $2,000, you know. But hey, it's, you know, it's a shame, but this is the world that we live in with this political government that we are unfortunately a part of and you know, or under, should I say, because we're under this political government, which is totally sad. Yeah. And so I just want to get on here and let you know I was listening.
That's what's up. I appreciate you too. Appreciate you,
yeah.
Mucho. Thanks for coming on through,
yeah,
and spreading that knowledge, giving that wisdom, and spreading that love.
Yeah. All right. Well, I look for you tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, why don't you go ahead and plug that show? You know, if you have the information available, go ahead and plug that show so people will know to holler at
you. Okay. Well, I want you all to know tomorrow's sun will be on my radio show tomorrow night called News Forum. It comes on Sunday nights at 9:30, and it's right here on the Blog Talk Radio. And all you have to do is tomorrow night, it's not the same number that you call to get onto this one, but the number for tomorrow night at 9:30 is 516-453-9133. Again, that's 516-453-9133. And we will be talking about hidden agendas. We talked about that last Sunday. And this Sunday is going to be part two. We're going to be looking into the judicial and legislative systems, as well as gerrymandering and how they bury the bills and squash the bills and just sit on bills within the legislation department. And, you know, some bills we never even hear, and they never get to the Senate floor or anything because you have these politicians that sit on bills. So we're going to be talking about that, and also about hidden agendas within religion and holidays and education. So y'all tune in tomorrow. The boy's son is going to be on there as one of my guests tomorrow and bringing his knowledge to News Forum. So, again, thank you so much, son, and I will see you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks a lot. One love. Be safe tonight.
Okay, you too.
All right. Good looking out. Chinchilla Jones coming through. We would, like she said, I'll be on her show tomorrow night, 9:30. I don't know if y'all caught all the information that she was giving, but I'll make sure that I put it on my pages and, you know, send it out to y'all so y'all know to come through and check us out. So with that being said, on behalf of Brother Max Sun 752 and Legacy of a Nation worldwide, internationally, and universally, we leave y'all with peace. Yo, don't forget, yo, please, I just want to say this one last thing, this whole mask thing. Just like people feel like it's their right to not have to wear the mask, it's your right to want to wear the mask. You know what I'm saying? Just because somebody doesn't deem it necessary to protect themselves doesn't mean that you should feel any kind of way about protecting yourself at all times. Wear your mask and any other PPE that you have and social distance yourself. You know what I'm saying? You know, I was standing by the ATM tonight, earlier today, and you know what I'm saying, you know, people were getting too close. I'm like, yo. Like, would you want to see my damn PIN number? Get the fuck away from me. Social distancing. You know what I'm saying? You know, don't be breathing down my back. Hey, it be like that sometimes. You know, y'all, please stay safe. You know, this shit is real out here. You know, maybe not everybody is dying from this shit, but I don't want nobody that I know dying of it. And that's that. So I'm going to holler at y'all later. Like I said, be safe. Peace, y'all.